Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and my guest today is Dr. Kathleen Hood, who is a board-certified family practitioner with over 30 years experience, and her practice is in Westport, Massachusetts. And we're going to talk today about her experience with the Alexander technique and what she's noticed with her patients who have studied the Alexander technique as well. Dr. Hood, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you. I wonder if you'd be willing to give our listeners a brief description of the Alexander technique.
I'd be happy to. Well, as I understand it, it hails from the thespian world.
Yes.
It's not a medical approach. And it's a way of teaching folks more awareness of their bodies and focuses on postural elements. And Alexander's theory that the hinge between the head and the spine is actually at the temporomandibular joint. Mm-hmm. Instead of in the cervical spine.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very important relationship.
The head-spine relationship,
yeah.
And the other part of it that I focus on and think is important is the idea of habit patterns that develop over a lifetime of use, and that, if you will, witless use can result in fairly destructive habit patterns, and that those can actually be responsible for pains and aches, which tend to get attributed to other more structural elements, but in fact are a function of how we use our bodies. And therefore, with enough awareness and instruction and practice, we can reconfigure those habit patterns and experience better agility, less pain.
Yes, excellent. And could you say a little about how you came to the technique and what your own experiences have been with it?
Yes. As with so many important discoveries, it was a patient who introduced me to it. Janet is a woman I had followed for many years in my practice, very advanced in age, was living independently despite fairly severe, one would say crippling, arthritis. And she had known Mary for a long time, which I didn't realize when Janet had a fall. She fell out the garage stairs and suffered a fracture of her neck, actually. The neurosurgeons deemed it an unstable fracture and advised her to have a fixation procedure, but at 93, she decided she was not going to do that. And so I respected that decision, and we went forward together, acknowledging that there would be some risk. Janet's a very intelligent person, studied what was involved, and began to try to heal on her own. She and Mary had been meeting together for some time. I'm not actually sure how they came together, but mm-hmm. Janet told me one day that she was controlling all of the pain of her broken neck with her Alexander technique. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, piqued my interest. I couldn't imagine what this was, this technique that could control the pain of a broken neck that I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. And so I sought out Mary with Janet's contact information, and we became acquainted.
And we should just say here that Mary is Mary Derbyshire, who is an Alexander technique teacher in Little Compton, Rhode Island, which is very near where your practice is.
That's right.
Right. So what was your experience with...
Well, so I invited Mary to come. I was actually having a meeting at my home of some alternative and complementary practitioners whose work I respect and who are colleagues in the care of my patients. And I thought that someone who had some powerful tool to control pain was someone I really needed to know. And when we met, I found her very companionable, very interesting and interested and willing to share what she was doing, and I wanted to learn more about it, so I signed up as a student for a start.
Mm-hmm. And how did the lessons go, and what experiences did you have from taking them?
You know, I must admit, for the first, we met weekly and had a personal one-on-one lesson, including table time and chair and conversation. And she was gracious about answering all the questions. I think I peppered her with more questions on the early days than maybe some students do. And I so enjoyed those sessions. I just became more and more curious, but I didn't really feel the kind of personal effects until about the fourth lesson. And so I tried very hard just to keep an open mind. I should add that I was living with severe pain in my shoulder, which mm-hmm. I was largely ignoring. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that would be sort of my litmus test for whether this approach would be helpful to mm-hmm. me for controlling my pain. I had already decided not to use a traditional medical approach to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how are you? I take it you're still having lessons with her?
Yes, that was a couple of years ago, and we're still meeting because I felt after that third lesson like I was experiencing a different sensation in my body, which was akin to what I would feel after a yoga session or a massage therapy session, but its immediate accessibility on the table and after the lesson was impactful to me. And the fact that I could basically call this up at will once I understood the directions and inhibitions a little bit better was just such a fantastically powerful tool that I wanted to be able to get the most out of it for myself and also be able to understand it better so I could begin to recommend it to patients.
And when you began recommending it to patients, how did they respond?
Well, I have a wonderful patient population in Westport, and many of them come to see me already because I like to partner with the patients, think outside the box, hear about their lives, kind of meet them where they are. And I loved that Mary would say, what is it that you want to be able to do? Let's gear our lessons toward achieving that, as opposed to, you know, here's my idea of what your life should be, and here's how to achieve it, and this is the scientifically supported way to do that. So the patients are really receptive to it. Now, that's not to say that every last one of them goes who I recommend it to, mm-hmm. But Mary helped me with that and gave me a handout which just has a description of the therapeutic lie down or constructive rest mm-hmm. position, mm-hmm. Her contact information, and the URL for the website for the American Society mm-hmm. of Alexander. And so patients will sometimes, you know, different people have different time frames and approaches, will sometimes kind of snoop around it for a while and then eventually come to it. But the ones who've gone directly have been the ones who are in severe disabling pain. Mm-hmm. And many of them have already exhausted traditional medical approaches. So they're desperate enough that they say, well, that doesn't make any sense, but sure, whatever. Give me your name, I'll call her. And they are often the ones who, after the second or third lesson, are actually pain-free mm-hmm. and themselves can't believe it either. Mm-hmm. And so increasingly, I think there is receptivity and interest. And Mary's done some very small group sessions on Main Road in Westport to invite people to come, kind of in the way someone would conventionally go to a yoga class, and witness her work with one student, and she circulates among the students and, you know, does a sort of a group session with six students. And so many of the folks I thought would benefit from it agreed to do that, to kind of sample it. And then some of those have continued as private patients or private students.
Mm-hmm. And when you make the decision about whether to recommend it or not to a particular patient, what are your criteria? I assume one is someone who's in pain and it would be a good candidate from your perspective.
Yeah, I've expanded the catchment to include anyone I perceive to be holding tension in an excessive or dysfunctional way in their body, which frankly is pretty much everybody.
I was just going to say that's a pretty wide net to cast. You know, a question that occurs to me is, what would be your, how would you approach another doctor, especially another primary care physician? What would you say to them about the technique and whether it's something they might want to investigate themselves?
Well, I find that the window to a meeting of the minds about this with another traditionally trained physician from this country anyway is to say, well, this is a first do no harm approach, and it has anecdotal evidence for remarkable relief of pain, not relieved in our conventional ways. Mm-hmm. And I find that other physicians are very eager to know about such approaches. You know, we're really encultured in medical school not to trust any method that doesn't pass the scientific model approach.
Right.
And
right.
Yet this is really, you know, it's not a medical approach. It's sort of like telling someone, breathe, hydrate, nourish your body, get adequate rest, find a way to move with joy. And increasingly, I find I talk to patients about those things. And I think most physicians concur with that. They just forget to mention those elemental things before they go on to the things we learned in medical school to provide.
Mm-hmm. And it might be worth adding that there is at least one evidence-based medical study.
Right, that's right. Mary shared that with me.
Yeah, there's several other. There are a few other. There's one, the major one is about back pain and was sponsored by the National Health Service in the UK. And it seems as though the UK is where a lot of other studies are going on. There's a neck pain study and a few others. And I think my understanding is their motivation was, as you might imagine, to cut costs and to save money on, because they do subsidize medical care in that country.
And of course, that's the one deterrent to accessing this in this country, mm-hmm. is that if I write a prescription for physical therapy evaluation and treat, diagnosis, neck pain, back pain, mm-hmm. headaches, TMJ syndrome, loss of voice, whatever, mm-hmm. It will be paid for by the patient's insurance with small copays.
Right.
They have to pay completely out of pocket for Mary. So as with other non-networked providers, I sometimes try just writing on a prescription pad, you know, Alexander Technique, evaluate and advise, and the diagnosis, and invite the patients to take their receipts for out-of-pocket expenditures for Mary's lessons and submit them to their health insurance company for whatever out-of-network reimbursement they might receive, and hope that if nothing else, it sends a little message to the payer that patients are accessing and benefiting from these other approaches. I think that has gradually happened with acupuncture and chiropractic and mm-hmm. some of the mm-hmm. other body work modalities, and I'm hopeful that the same thing could be possible for Alexander.
Yeah, and you know, in Great Britain, primary care physicians are urged to do exactly as you describe, essentially write a prescription recommending Alexander lessons for patients that have back pain specifically. And I believe that the National Health Service there will reimburse a certain number of Alexander lessons for free. So, but we don't have that yet in the States. Is there anything else you would like to say about your experience or your patients' experiences with the technique before we come to an end?
Just to add that the shoulder pain is much, much better. Mm-hmm. And I recall that when I mentioned to Mary early in our lessons that was part of what I was hoping to experience improvement with, she turned to me and You know Mary, she
I
has
do.
very engaging eye contact and said, "Oh, you'll be pain-free," with a kind of confidence that I found very reassuring. And it helped me as a physician experience what a patient feels with a therapeutic relationship. And, you know, it's not just something we as doctors do with our patients, it's something that absolutely comes across with Alexander. And so I think it belongs in this world of tools that we have in our medical toolbox.
And from what I've seen, there are a lot of doctors themselves are in pain of one kind or another.
Ah,
It's a
good
stress.
point.
It's a stressful job.
Yes, extremely
Being
so.
a well, any I think probably any anything in medicine, but certainly primary care physician such as yourself is under all kinds of pressure from insurance companies and who knows, you know, to it's and you're seeing all these people all day long who have problems, and it doesn't seem surprising to me that there would be a fairly high incidence of stress-related conditions in the medical profession itself.
And, you know, I also share my personal experience with it with patients, especially when I meet someone whose issues really remind me of my own and they're wary of doing something like this. I will share my personal experience too and say, here's how it feels, and here's why I do it, and here's what helps. And, you know, just be able to illustrate a little bit of it for them as I understand it. And I think that also convinces people that if I have this much faith in it, that, you know, it's worth trying. And I still have a lot to learn, but I can at least share with them what I've learned so far. I hope to continue studying it for a long time more.
Well, maybe this is a good point at which to end our conversation. My guest today is Dr. Kathleen Hood, who is a family practitioner in Westport, Massachusetts. And I'll be putting a link to her website as well as the website of her teacher, her Alexander teacher, Mary Derbyshire, who lives in Little Compton, Rhode Island, which is very close to Westport. Dr. Hood, thank you so much for doing this.
You're most welcome. It was my pleasure.